Start the recording. Okay, we started the recording. Agutavach, Tzvi Sher. Agutavach.
How's she doing?
She broke her hip.
Who's this?
Did she fall?
Oh, wow.
She fell off a high, you know, stool chair.
Shavar for Shlomo.
Why was she on a high stool chair?
In her kitchen, in her house. She was sitting at the counter, you know.
That's a large fall.
How old is she?
84.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay, now let's start. Let's talk just a drop about Orla, what the whole setup here is. I just want to mention, first of all, we should know where the psukim are. And it's Leviticus 19:23-25. It says, So it sounds like we're talking a mitzvah, which is totally in Eretz Yisrael. So 3 years it shall not be eaten. But since the lashon of lo ye ochel, the Gemara Pesachim says lo ye ochel is isur achila isur hanoah b'mashma. So it's not only isur b'achila, it's also isur b'hanoah. And in chutz la'aretz, it's not considered a min ha'torah from the psukim, but it's rather halacha l'moshe m'sinai.
Oh yeah.
And one caveat, normally halacha l'mishmi sinai has halacha just like a deraisa, and just like we say suffik deraisa l'chumra, you say suffik halacha l'mishmi sinai is also l'chumra. However, this is an exception. Here, the halacha l'mishmi sinai in chutz la'aretz is oif gestalt. You know Yiddish, right?
Yeah.
Oif gestalt, and as oifin that suffik arla b'chutz la'aretz is mutter. That's why the halacha is when you go to a friend who has some arla trees in his backyard, you want to buy something, you say, here's some money and give me something from your orchard. And you don't have to worry about it because even if it came from one of his arla trees, it's Suffolk arla and it's muteras. That's lechachila and that's the din way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So that's the first thing you should know, just to know the differences between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Okay? But it's an Isra Hanoah, and the Isra Hanoah applies to everything on the tree. In other words, once it's an arla tree, it applies to everything, not just the fruit, the twigs, they're also Isra Hanoah. Okay, how do you calculate the 3 years? So that is a Gantz Shavuos, we're not going to go into it right now, but let me just tell you right now, Bekitzer, the way it works is, let's suppose I planted the tree before 44 days before Tishrei. So it has 14 days to take root, and it has 30 days to be counted as 1 year. That's your first year. Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, to the next Chodesh Tishrei is 2 years. To the next Chodesh Tishrei is 3 years. And the fourth year begins not on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, but rather on Tu Bishvat. So the third year actually extends all the way from Tishrei, all the way until Tu Bishvat. And then,
the fourth year,
which is Netar Avoy, begins at Tu Bishvat.
Because of the Kula of the first year, there was only...
Because of the Kula. Oh, so Dov is saying, he must have read the introduction, there's a Shmachloikas in the Rishonim. Does this only apply in the case that I gave you where it was just 44 days before, or any case? That's a Shmachloikas Rishonim. Okay. We'll stop there. One other thing. I want to just tell you the Chazon Ish's definitions of what a tree is, which is very interesting. The definition of a tree, and what he does is he looks at the bracha, the Hilchas Brachas, take a look, and this is not Chazon Ish, he says this in general, as a rule. You look at what you make Bari Pri Ha'etz on. If you make a Bari Pri Ha'etz, it's a tree. If you don't, if you make a Bari Pri Adam, it's not a tree. So,
bananas,
it's going to be Adam. But bananas is another reason, because the rule
tomatoes?
Is...
Tomatoes?
Tomatoes is not a tree.
No, tomatoes are a fruit.
Tomatoes is a vegetable. Okay.
Biologically, they are fruit.
Could be.
Bracha is a domino.
I don't know if that vine, a tomato vine, survives from year to year, does it?
Absolutely.
Does not. You have to replant it every year. That's one of the definitions. One has to be...
Halachic definitions, but not scientific.
Yeah, fine. I'm not going to argue about that. Science, I don't know science. It must be a type of plant that survives year after year. It must produce fruit year after year from the same trunk. if it produces a new trunk that's also not a tree, the nature of the plant's edible part must be similar to that of tree fruits in general. But plants such as cabbages, which meet basic criteria of trees, but the produce does not resemble any kind of fruit, they're considered vegetables. And the Chazon Ish says another thing, which I thought was very interesting, and he says, only trees that generally endure beyond the fourth year. If you have a tree that will only last 4 years and then it drops dead, that is not going to be included in any of this. Okay? So if you have a short-lived tree that has a short life, there's no arla on it. Very interesting, Chazon Ish.
So it has to at least get to not the Ravoi in order to be a tree.
It needs to go beyond that.
If it's
a six-year tree, I don't think if it's short duration, it has to be a tree that survives.
I heard there's something there. I saw the passion fruit or something that only survives 3 to 4 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a perfect example of a tree which would not have arla on it. Okay, so let's, without further ado, that'll suffice for our introductory remarks for now.
Okay.
If you don't mind. I mean, I can go on longer because there's a chinuch I could tell you about, but we're not going to do that now because there are people who are nervous.
Okay.
I don't want to make people nervous.
They must be behind me.
It's 6 minutes after 9, and I hope to get you out of here by 10, the latest.
There's no rush as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not rushing. You will not feel rushed at all. You can feel free to ask any questions.
Anybody online?
There's three online. Anyone can feel free to ask me any questions on any, like Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, any questions on any subject at all. Which I always thought was, that's pretty, you got to have big places to be able to open up the forum to any question on any subject at all. Anyway, okay. So the Mishnah says, if you plant, and your purpose of planting this tree, it's a fruit tree, and your purpose of planting the tree is so that you will have a hedge, or for lumber, a hedge meaning you're going to have a, you know, like a thing for privacy, a privacy a plant in your yard.
It's a fruit tree.
But it's a fruit tree.
We're only talking about fruit trees here.
Part term in Arla. There's no din of Arla because it wasn't planted for fruit, right?
How are you allowed to cut down a fruit tree?
You're not.
You're allowed to if the fruit is of poor quality and the wood is worth more than the fruit, you can cut such a tree down.
Even if you don't replant a fruit tree in its place?
Yeah. What are you, a tree hugger?
Yeah.
We have a tree hugger with us. I hired somebody to cut down my tree.
You had a fruit tree?
It's not fruit. It used to produce chestnuts, but it doesn't do it anymore.
Chestnuts are fruit?
It doesn't, whether it is or not, doesn't make a difference. It's not producing.
Chestnuts are eight?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I love
one of the people that,
chestnuts. I love roasted
one
chestnuts.
Of the people that came to give me an estimate told me that for every tree he cuts down, he plants another one, you know, with some organization. So, okay.
There is that organization.
Good morning, Rabbi Oberstein. It's good to see you.
You say 9:30.
I said 9 o'clock.
You did? Well,
yeah.
I'm here.
Well, I'm glad to see you here.
A little late, but better late than never.
We started already.
We're on
1A, and we just finished saying the simple, after the introductory remarks, we just simply said one simple halacha, which is if you plant your fruit tree for the purpose of firewood, or that should be for privacy, for a hedge, you do not have to, you know, observe the halachas of arla and such a thing.
Ooh.
Okay, you have a heter. You started right with a heter. Okay.
We got a fig tree.
You have a fig tree in your yard?
I have, yes.
Wow. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, afil omer hapnim milamaycha v'achitzin l'syag. Rabbi Yossi says you can even split the tree in half. Half the tree is for eating, and half the tree is for a hedge. And the rules of the tree will be actually split in half. The half that will be for fruit will have halachas of arla, and the half that is for the hedge will not. One tree could split in half.
You didn't say that the orla applies also to the wood?
Yes. If it's a fruit tree.
It is a fruit tree.
No, listen closely.
Then
if I define it that I'm planting it for fruit, and the fruit has the halacha of arla, then it will extend to the wood as well. But if it's not osral's arla, then it's all the tree's mutter. Even the fruit's mutter.
Right.
Well, that's the basic idea here. We'll get into the details later. So again, so afilam raptim lemaichel v'achitzim l'siyok haptim michayev v'achitzim potter. Okay, zomel zogin l'gmar.
So is it just a half, or could it be a third, or?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. He says half. I don't know if you could divide it. If you could further divide it, I don't know. I would imagine. Yeah. The Rambam, it says in the bottom that the Rambam, the commentary says the halacha is not like your B.I.C., but in the Yarach HaZaka, he seems to paskin like your B.I.C. So that might be an interesting question, whether B.I.C. is coming to explain the Tanakhama, or is B.I.C. arguing on the Tanakhama. So in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he seems to learn they're arguing it, but in the Yarach HaZaka, he seems to feel that it's a perish, and there's no real machlokas. So that's an interesting side thing to keep in mind. Lomazeg in the Gemara. Haneteas yogal ukaris is potter. T'ksev untatem kol eitz ma'achol. Notice how I read the word. A little dictum lesson here. It's untatem, not unnetatem. When you have u and a shva, the shva is silent. Untatem. Anything. Okay? Untatem kol in machak chayim chesed, right? So machnos l'meritah chelim matir asurim kayem emunos l'shenefar. It's not mikayem, it's kayem. Okay, so here it's untatem kol is machol. You're going to plant any food tree. So the best thing would be to just look at the pasuk. You see, on the Torah Ard says aleph. The Sevel Arts, Untatem Kol Eitz Machol, Va'aratem Oso Esper, Yosho Shalom Yilachem, Arein Lo Yochel.
Where is that?
The Torah Or. You see the Torah Or, Aleph in the Hebrew side?
No.
Look in the left column.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
You see it?
Yeah.
Torah Shalom. So he quotes the whole Pasuk. So the Gemara quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, Untatem Kol Eitz Machol, Es Shehu L'Machol Es Chayev. If you're planning it for food, that's when you have this parsha. But if it's for other purposes, hedge, lumber, firewood, then it's exempt. So the Gemara says, me'ata osu shal machal afil chishav l'syog yechayev. So the Gemara asks, what does he say here? Since it says food trees that only bear fruit, I'm sorry. Since the phrase food tree comes to exclude only trees that actually do not bear fruit. In other words, when you read the pasuk, you could say there are two types of trees. There's a tree that produces fruit, and then there's a tree that has no fruit on it. An oak tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the pasuk is telling me that it's only osur shel machol if it's a fruit tree, then maybe in that case you would talk to Michayev, even if you were planting it for the purposes of making it into a hedge.
Right.
So how do you know that if you have in mind a fruit tree to make it a hedge, that it would not be included? So the Gemara says, now if we erase the word Tamalimra Eitz Machol, the Gra has a Gerso Tamalimra Untatem Eitz Machol, but we're not going to learn that right now. So, right, 1A2. So the Gemara says that Eitz Machol does not only exclude barren trees, but even fruit-bearing trees that were planted for intent for non-food purposes. Reb Yossi, so we have two Mahalchim here. We're going to have Reb Yossi and Reb Yoina. Reb Yossi is going to say, Yilamei Davar Mitchiloso.
So this is not the Reb Yossi from the Mishnah?
No, this is Reb Yossi in the Amoira.
Okay.
Reb Yossi is saying, Yilamei davar mitchiloso. Let's learn the iser of the pasuk where it says shaloshonim yilochem areilim lo yeyachel. Let's learn what that applies to from the beginning of the pasuk. That's what it means. Mitzkilasa. Mashma shenam Rav Sholoshlam Yilukam Arim Lo Yochel. So v'chi enon yodim shavu eitz machal kasa medaber. Obviously, we must be. If it's telling me 3 years you're not going to eat the fruit, so then obviously we're talking. Obviously, we're talking about a fruit tree. So matam lanu natatam kol eitz machal. What do you have to say in the introductory pasuk, in the introduction of the pasuk, that you'll come to the land and you'll plant a fruit tree? So from that we see, that's what it means. We're learning mitchilasa. We're learning from this extra words in the beginning. Only if it's for food purposes. That's what the pasuk is saying. Tatam kol eitz machal is extra. That's Rabbi Yossi's drasha. Now Rabbi Yoina doesn't like that drasha. Why doesn't he like that drasha? So in the footnote, it says he doesn't like the drasha because the end of the pasuk where it says Shalosh Shanim Yilachem Areilum Lo Yeochel, that pasuk Lo Yeochel is coming to teach me a special issur that I told you in the introductory remarks, that Lo Yeochel is a lashon of issur hanah. So not only is there an issur achila, there's also an issur hanah, and therefore he doesn't like that pasuk. So therefore he does the other way around. Lo Me Davar Mi Sofo, he's going to learn it from the end. Mashma shenema. In other words, he's going to go to the end, which is the next pasuk in the Torah R, which talks about Vashona Hachamishes Toichlu Espiru Lohesu V'Kam Tuvaso Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I think that's the pasuk.
Yeah,
that the pasuk says that if you do this right, if you follow these rules and you don't eat it the first 3 years, and you do the Netar Avayi on the fourth year, then on the fifth year you're going to have plenty of food to eat from. This is like an investment in your future, right? From the implication of which it says, in the fifth year you may eat its fruits and it'll increase. So obviously we're talking about a fruit tree, because that's what it's saying. You're going to have more to eat. You're going to eat its fruit. So why do you need the first pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk? He's being dying at the same beginning. He's just saying the extraneousness of it is learned from the fifth year pasuk. Not from the end of this bus. So it's the same diak, Eshula Michael is high, Eitzimus Potter. So you have two drushas, one from UIC, one from Viviana. Okay? Tony. Rav Shimigam Li Alayma Medvar Mamurim, Nisman Shinata, Lisyog Lakaras Laitzim, Davashu Roy Lahem. So now, he's going to say like this. It has to be something which is fitting for it. Meaning, if it's not just enough to have kavana, let's go to the next page. It says, "Not to the Shane roy lahem chayev." If you planted something which is not roy for it, so then it's not. So 17. Let's see.
Here's an example. Grapevine for firewood.
So exactly. So what he means is roy lahem. It means it's, if let's say it's a hedge. So if you're going to plant a tree which has a thick foliage, then that can act as a hedge. If you're going to plant a grapevine, that's not a hedge. That doesn't block anyone's view. You can see right through it. So that's number one. And if you're talking about for firewood, you're not going to plant a vine for firewood. That's ridiculous, right? So it would be a tree that is not subject for Arla, that's not suitable for the purposes of firewood and hedging. So then it would be subject to Arla. So now, the Gemara assumes that this is a machlokas, because since the Chachamim were not machalik, and if you look at the Bir Hagra, he says it in two short words, Amar B'Shem Galil, my time of Rabbanim. So now the Gemara says, my time of Rabbanim, I'm looking at the Gra, the bottom left line on the Hebrew, Bir Hagra, he says, my time of Rabbanim, Pir She'ein Machalkin. The Rabbanim are not machalik between one tree and another tree, they just say, as long as you have it in mind, you're using it for firewood, it doesn't apply Arla to it. So why are they arguing? L'chaira, he has a good argument. Yosam Rav Shimon Gamliel. My Talmud Rabbanan. Why, what's their reasoning? So the Gemara says, we're not 1b. Rav Zeira says the following. We have to understand the sheet of the Chachamim a little better. The Chachamim did not get involved in this issue of whether it is roy or not roy, because the Chachamim have another criteria which you have to understand applies to when they say it's okay, which we're going to read right now. The Mishana said Nitiyosam. The only time that a fruit tree could be assumed to be used as a hedge is if you plant them all right next to each other. So normally if you plant a fruit tree, you're going to give space for each tree to have, you know, space to go with your cart to pick the fruit and so on. Room eight amos, whatever the share we learned in Masechta Klayim was, right? But over here, if you plant it one next to the other, so you know, it's going to be a hedge. That's obviously he did it for a hedge purposes. Oh, so let's understand what he's trying to say here. But Mishana said to Yosem, he's doing it a little differently. Namely, le'etzim b'raitzeh, he's putting them together if it's for firewood. Le'karo is for shopping, and if it's for lumber, it's he trimming the tree's branches so that the trunks grow thicker. Le'syog, if it's a hedge, makim ha'syog mafiach, love the location that makes it clearly, because it's on the border of my yard with my neighbor's yard, right? So, here's the key. Since the Mishnah and the Brice are dealing with instances where it's evident from the tree's cultivation that it will be used for non-food purposes, so it's understandable why the rabbis hold that the tree is exempt from arla even if it is inherently unsuited for that purpose. You follow what he's trying to say? In other words, who was it, Rav Shimon Gamliel that we were just talking about? Rav Shimon Gamliel said, no, it has to be Dabar Haroi Lahem. And therefore, if it's a vine, it's not going to have this heter apply to it. The Chachamim say, no, we're not looking at Kavano. We're looking at the way you did it. And if you did it in a certain way, it's Muchach. So if you did, although it's not the smartest thing to plant a grapevine along the edge there's, but if you did it so that right next to each other, it's clear that you're a dummy. Okay, you don't know how to make a hedge right. You know, you picked a bad plant.
But it's definitely not for fruit.
If that's your kavana, the Chachamim are going to hold that
no arla,
correct? Even by any fruit tree. That's the answer. Okay, Tommy Rishem Reb Meir, call him on his mom. Mashal's tour. All trees are subject to the possibility of the owner having intent that exempts them from arla. Meaning, this heter that we just said, that if you have in mind that you're going to use it for a hedge, that was the first statement of the Mishnah, right? Kol ha'ilanus that you planted for a hedge are pater. So he says that's only true by certain trees. There are trees that it does not apply to, and that is the zayas and the te'ino. If it's an olive tree or a fig tree, then that heter does not apply because the fruit of those trees are so chashav that for you to think that tree is going to be used for firewood is bato da'ikel eitzel kol adam. No one in the right mind would do such a thing.
Well, first of all, the type of wood that is a fig tree, you could use it for firewood, but you wouldn't build a house with it. I mean, it's not hard.
It's not hard, right.
No.
What about the wine?
It says here, the fruit of these trees is... It doesn't say it. He doesn't exclude wine.
Yeah,
these are the only two exceptions, olive and fig.
I think the reason is because the olive and the fig are real trees versus the vine, wine is a vine, not really a tree.
Okay. So Rav Meir disagrees with our Mishnah's ruling for the Mishnah. This is footnote 4, right? He disagrees with our Mishnah's ruling because the Mishnah implies that any tree, including the olive tree and the fig tree, is planted for a non-food purpose, is exempt. So that's the machlokas, okay? Rav Meir is only arguing about two trees, right? He agrees with the basic yesod, but there are exceptions, okay?
Two exceptions.
Now, here we have a comment. Now we're going to have a comment from the Gemara. The Gemara says...
A tree... As a hedge, if you realize that it's a soft tree, meaning it has a lot of leaves, it has a lot of branches.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like a hedge. A hedge, you can't build a house with a hedge either.
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. But But it would have the fruit. That's the difference.
Yeah. And, all right. So let's see. Let's see what's going to happen now. So we're going to say that Rav Meir is kenate. He's going to shita say. Now we're going to quote a different Rav Meir, another masechta. That is to say, this is a klayim issue, parak 6, mishnah 5. Okay. Now this is talking about klayim. Now let me just remind you of the rules here, so you understand what the Gemara is saying. The rules are like this: if I have a vine, right, and I put up a trellis, right? You know what trellis is, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I put up a trellis to guide the vine to grow up the trellis, and the trellis, of course, it goes like this, right? We'll say it's like an S7 or an L, whatever shape you want to call it, an inverted L. So the vine is growing up, and it goes across. You've seen these, right? So the rule is that wherever that vine grows, you cannot plant things underneath the vine. That's a problem of klayim. Right? So it's not, even though it's far away from the root, it could be 4 feet away from the root. You're not allowed to plant vegetables underneath that vine. But not only that, the trellis may extend beyond where the vine reaches. So the vine has grown up to here, but the trellis goes all the way over to here. You can't plant anywhere underneath the trellis either. Okay, even though the vine may not reach the end of the trellis. That's the rule.
Because sooner or later it's going to...
It's a darabanan, whatever it looks like, because you're saying it's sooner or later it's going to reach there. Whatever the reason is, we don't want to get into too much detail here. Let's say one more halacha. One more halacha. Let's suppose I don't have a trellis, but I have an elon, and it's an elon strak, and I'm using the elon strak to guide the vine up, and it's growing on the branches of the elon. So here we have a nafkamina. If it's underneath the branches, underneath the vine, that's usher. But beyond it, you know, beyond the branches, what's the rule with that?
Okay.
It could be that it's okay. It could be it's not okay. It depends. The mayor says, let's look inside. We're going to pick up the Gemara now. Rav Meir Kedatei the Amar. Rav Meir is going to his Shita. He says, Kol Ilanos Ilan Strak. All trees are viewed as non-fruit-bearing trees. Chutz Mizayis Ritena, except if it's an olive or a fig tree. So what that means is, take a look at footnote 6. It says over here, that in the second paragraph on 6, if the vine was trained onto the branches of a tree, it depends whether it's a barren tree or a fruit-bearing tree, okay? In the former case, it's the barren tree, then it's no different from an ordinary trellis, which is deemed subordinate to the vine it supports. So planting foreign seed under the tree is forbidden, okay? So if it's a barren tree, the whole tree is usur. You can't plant under any of it because we look at the barren tree like it's a trellis. If it's a fruit tree, then it would not be that way. Then underneath the vine would be usur, but beyond the vine, the tree has its chashivas because of the fruit. Rav Meir says that is only going to be true by two trees.
Zayis
and Teina. Kol ha'ilonos ilone srak. All other trees, even if they bear fruit, they have a halacha like ilone srak, and that
you can't plant
underneath any part of the tree once you're using it as a god, as a trellis. Okay? So that's Rav Meir l'shitasei. Got it?
No.
No?
No, I didn't get the difference.
But in other words, remember the rule by the trellis. If it's not a tree, a trellis, if the whole trellis is also, even if it doesn't reach that point. If it's Ilone Srak, it's also the same din, because it's no different than a trellis, it's just a live trellis, because it doesn't have any fruit, so the whole tree becomes buckled to the vine. If it's a fruit tree, so then it depends. If you hold like a mayor, if it's an olive tree or a fig tree, then the rule is where the vine gets to underneath it is osur, but beyond that, any other part of the tree, it would be mutter.
And according
Well, I don't want to talk about other shitas. We're only trying to say Rav Meir l'shitas A. He holds that there's a special chashivas to Te'ena and Zayas, and that's why he has those
and,
underneath.
And what happens by Te'ena and Zayas?
There you can plant underneath the rest of the tree where the vine does not reach.
So.
Okay?
So it's not like a trellis, and it's not like an ilan strak.
That's correct.
Why can't you plant under a vine?
Because of kohanim.
But then you touch it.
Doesn't matter. Underneath it, it looks like it.
It's,
it looks like
no,
it's Mara sign. Okay, I think so. I'm not sure. I don't remember. We have to go back to Kalim. You know, we learned the whole thing. You know. Remember Kalim? Tani b'shem Reb Shimon ain lo chabav b'mashem as p'tur ala shloishes min b'vad rimin shikmin v'tzlof. Now here, this is another Tana. He's very very limiting. Now you don't have any tree that is subject to the possibility of the owner having intent that exempts it from our law, except the following three species alone, which are rimin, sycamores, and capers. So basically, he's he's the other extreme. He's limiting the heter of our Mishnah to only three types of trees, because he holds these fruits are so insignificant that they can become batal to his makshavah. Okay.
But it can't be remown because that's not buckling. It's a more hushy tree.
So, yeah. So, like, number nine. Rav Shimon goes a step further than Rav Meir. He holds virtually all species of fruit trees are too significant to allow their food tree designation to be removed via the owner's intent. Right? Once you're in a state that you have once you have a shame fruit tree, just intent alone won't be enough, according to Rav Shimon. You have to be a very specific type of a tree. Okay. Now the Gemara goes to interesting questions. Let's suppose I designate a tree to be firewood, and now we're saying the rules of Arla do not apply to it because it's actually no longer considered a fruit tree. So how far do we take that? Do we say, so now the fruit is no longer going to be chayav of meiser either? That's the shaila. The fluke to the Rav Abba Marmol, the Rav Hila. So we have Rav Abba Marmol.
What years are you talking about?
Any year.
The first year?
No.
Well, I'm talking about Arla fruits.
No, we're saying about the meiser.
Yeah.
We're saying in which year? Even the first year of the tree?
The first 3 years. If I go ahead and I designate a tree that is going to be firewood, so we're saying now that the rule of Arla doesn't apply. We ignore the fruit. We look at the fruit as if it's not a fruit tree. So maybe we should look at the fruit as if it's not a food tree altogether and shouldn't be chayav and meiser. Remember, if it's not chayav in Arla, the fruits are mutter, right? So the question is, are you chayav in meiser?
He says that it could be that it's a hefker.
It could be it's hefker. That's right.
Using the fruit. So we're not interested in using the fruit, so he's
yes.
So then there's no chayav of meiser.
That's true. Yeah, he brings that down over here. We're going to see it as we go along. Yeah. So the Gemara says, it's a machlokes or baba. If spalgan hamasham piros of le'asim, a person who reserves his produce for use as firewood. That means, in other words, I have, what's a good example of produce that could burn easily? I think figs are a good example. Figs, when they dry out, they're like pretty hard. I think you could probably light them on fire. So, and I guess olives too, you know? Olives, which if I let them dry out, they'd be excellent for fire because they got an oil component to them too, right? So if I designate my fruit for fuel for a fire, that's a machlokas. Reb Bar Bar Mamel Omer Chayiv, it's Chayiv in Maestris, if he takes any of those to eat. And Reb Hilo, B'Shem Reb Yossi Omer, Potter, you're Potter. So now they're going to bring proofs to their respective opinions. Reb Bar Bar Mamel Omer Chayiv, Hilo Yossi Min Hador. This is how I know it. Reb Bar Levi Hilo, Chelos Ben Achle Yimoch. It says that the Levi comes and he takes Maestris because he doesn't have a chelik. So from what you have and he doesn't have, you're chayav to give to him. So again, he holds your chayiv. So yotze hefker. It'll exclude hefker, obviously. You both have equal access to hefker, and therefore hefker is potter from maestris. Who lechon he shekel he pay he hefker. It's all the same thing, right? Because if he's an oni, he could go into the field and get it just as much as anybody else. So he does all those things are not chayiv and maestris. But and this is where you got to go to the English. At any rate, right? At any rate, he writes, you see the tithing obligation is applicable as long as the produce is otherwise unavailable to the levy. In our case, therefore, where the owner is retaining the produce for himself, albeit not for consumption, he's retaining it for firewood, it doesn't matter. The fact is, it's his. It's the levy has no chelik in it. So it's not hefker, and therefore you should be chayiv. That's Rabbi Mamamo's argument. It's only something that the levy has access to that is potter from maestres, hefker lekachicho peya, but this, which you're reserving it for firewood, definitely going to be chayiv. And Rav Hila b'shem Rav Yosi Amar potter min hadol. I have another raya. Now he's going to bring a raya from a Mishnah, okay?
Well, you didn't cut the tree down. You can't give no maestro from a tree that you didn't cut.
What?
You're giving a miser of the wood.
No. We're only talking about. If you look at the English,
uh-huh.
The English says over there when it says "marshal yichavim a miser," he says, "What is the law with regard to whether these fruits of trees that were planted for non-food purposes
uh-huh.
are they obligated in tithes?" In other words,
okay.
you're talking about a case where you took fruit off these trees which were designated for firewood. Is that fruit going to be chayiv and miseris?
Because it's potter from
Orla. It's potter from Orla. Is a chayiv and maestras. First shita is it definitely is chayiv. Second shita is potter. And he learns it from this Mishnah in, it's maestras, the Mishnah in maestras. Now, kuzbar, we talk about this a couple of times. We'll just say it again. The kuzbar is the coriander fruit which has the following two elements. It has a certain, we'll call it the yerek shavo, the green vegetable part of it, which means there's a let's call it a stalk. It has a stalk which is soft in the very beginning of its growth, and you could, in theory, pull off the leaves of that stalk, and that's what we'll call yerek, the vegetable part of it, which is edible at the beginning. Normally, it's not grown for that. Normally, you grow the coriander for the coriander seeds, which is the zera. By the time that zera gets produced, the stalk has hardened, and is no longer roi la'achila. So if someone goes ahead and plants a coriander for the seed part of it, so what's the rule with the yerek, with the green vegetable part of it, if you ate from that in the first beginning of its growth? That's the issue of here. So it says...
Isn't there a difference, though? Because there it's going to be hard, so it's not going to be roi.
Eventually.
Here the fruit are delicious, I guess, until they rot and fall off. But I'm saying there's no future of bad.
So one second, you're jumping ahead. Let's just read the raya first. You're asking a good question. Hold on, Kuzmar.
Excuse me, coriander is a vegetable, right? Not a fruit.
Yeah, we're talking about we're just bringing this as a concept. So the concept is over here. Kuzmar shazara lazara. If you planted the coriander for its seed, which is the normal case, yarka, if you took off the vegetable, the green leaves off of it before they became hard, putter, they're putter from taking maestras. Because your kavana was for the zera, so therefore, since your kavana is for zera, even though there's an edible portion of it, right now, it's putter. So you see that your kavana, that's when he's bringing a raya. So you see the kavana, right? That's the raya. So I don't have, before I go any further, so I want to make sure that's clear, yeah? Now, what's Dov saying? What's Dov's asking a question on the raya. What's his question? We're trying to bring a raya to what? We're trying to bring a raya that if you had in mind that something should be used for wood, that the byproduct, which is not its main kavana, which is the fruit, should not be chayiv in maestras when you pick it.
Right.
So it's exactly the same thing as here.
Yes.
Yarko, when you pick it, it's edible. But since your event, your main kavana in this growth is for the purpose of seeds, therefore it's pater because at that point it will become hard.
Right. So,
what's the problem with that riot?
So the question is, the kuzbar, is it going to be the same halacha if the green sustains its availability to be eaten, as opposed to, eventually it's going to be not royal lemaichal. So then you say...
You want to know if a kuzbar had a different characteristic, that it did not get hard.
Right. And was always royal lemaichal, the green part was still royal
lemaichal. That's a what-if question.
No, but I'm saying, because you're comparing it to fruit.
I understand I'm comparing it to fruit. But
so it could be the characteristic of the kuzbar, the reason that you're saying that if he has in mind to do this drawing,
okay,
is because it's roaring now, the green, but it's not going to be roaring, in the
future. Why do you think that would make us look? You think
is
that a far
one? Well, the fruit in the future is not going to be roaring like the Lila. It's going to rot.
Riding is not an asfara.
Riding is like getting hard.
Getting hard is in its natural growth. That's the way the nature of the plant's growth is that it gets hard.
And the fruit is
that's later on after you pick it gets hard. Or if you leave it on, it'll fall off the tree. I don't think rotting is a dimion.
To me, rotting and getting hard is the same thing.
What would rotting prove to be then?
That's a comparison. It's just like this kuzba gets hard at the end.
Yeah.
Still,
when it's edible,
it's not even nicer.
It's not part, but it's part that, anyway.
That's what it's mashma to be from the Hebrew footnote 18.
Yeah, what does
it say? The name of the Sefer Anir, Bavli, Reuben, and Rashi there, that the chap is that it's going to be hardened, the kuzbar, the vegetable part. That's how it's mashma.
Okay.
But if that's not the reason there, so then I take it back.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's what it's mashma.
It's a horror. It's a good horror.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, here.
I don't know.
Well, the Gemara has a different horror. So the Gemara says on the top of Beis Omen Aleph, the Gemara says, Shanya hi kuzbar, sheyesh lo garen acheres. He says, well, maybe the kuzbar is different because it has another garen. In other words, there is another chi of meiser in the seeds. The seeds will ultimately be chayv and meiser. So therefore, maybe that's why the yarek is potter, because it's not the main kavana of the output. So my kavana of the output, where it's going to be chayv and meiser eventually, that's why it'll be chayav. That's why the yarek is putter. But over here in our case, you never have a meiser. So maybe in that case, the fruit would be chayav. I think it's a better defi than yours is. Anyway, for high dharma da, rather, which tana, so that's not a good, the Gemara has basically slugged up that proof. And so what is a good proof for a Pilus position? High dharma da. Which Tana is the one that states this principle? Hamakayim Malaya Shokrov Lazara. If you maintain an entire bed of cabbage for a seed. So this is like this. So some cabbage, if you let it get hard, the cabbage will become hard like a rock, and then it produces its seed. Now normally there will be a little bit left over for planting, but there'll only be a little bit. You're not going to put the whole patch of cabbage for that purpose. That if a person does that, it's both of that we call it. It's like a person planting a whole garden and saying, well, the whole garden is just going to be for seed. That's very unusual. So botla daita. Cloch and you feed them. But if you do a few individual stalks, still a botla, now that makes sense. So what does that mean? Amar Abiyana. So he said like this, Hu shaliket yerek. This is true if he picked the greens while they were still soft and edible. Then we say they're subject to tithing. In other words, when do you say that if you planted the whole thing for seed, its greens nevertheless obligated in Mysras? That's if you picked them while they were soft. Avlam shaliket yerek, but if you never picked them and you waited them to get hard like a rock, then there's certainly no chiyuv, right, to take maaser, because it's hard. So are we going to say also that the wood is chayav ha-maisras? For sure not. Because wood is a chayav ha-maisras. So now, this is the point. Since the first ruling of the Braisa must refer to an instance where he picked the greens when they were edible, so the Braisa's latter ruling, where it says where the greens were picked while it was still edible, and it says that if it's grown for the purpose of seed, single stalks, then it's potter from maisras. So you see, again, that something which has in mind a kavana for seed, it potters its vegetable from the maisras. Okay, so we have another proof. Strike the Gemara. Mashu yasur mishum gazal. So what's the rule with what? You have fruits of trees where they were planted for non-food purposes. So can somebody say that the owner has no interest at all in the fruit and would not object to them being taken by other people? Very interesting, Shiloh. Strike the Gemara, if he ate sim einon asur mishum gazal, isn't the wood part of the tree for sure going to be chayav in gazal? So just like the wood, you know for sure is chayav in gazal, and the fruits could possibly be used like the wood as firewood. So isn't forget about the fact that they're fruit and you're not interested in the fruit, but you're interested in firewood. So these fruits, if they'll dry out, they'll also be like firewood. That's the kasha. The Gemara presumes at this point that the fruits, although not intended for consumption, are at least fit to be utilized as fuel together with the rest of the tree. Likewise, in a case where the tree was intended to serve as a hedge, the fruits are assumed to contribute to that function. Right? So that should be obvious. No one can take from that. Matzvichale, why is this? What is the question? Kigon ilein tusaya d'loisbuhun mamash. If you have a berry tree, so now the little berries, they do not add or contribute to either thing. So in other words, like this. So if I have a berry tree, which I'm using to make a hedge, so the berry tree's branches are what's going to make the hedge. The little berries aren't going to make a difference one way or the other, number one. Number two, if I want to use it for firewood, berries are not going to be good for firewood. They won't make it burn less. So in that case, that's where he had the shiloh. Can they take the berries? The Gemara doesn't answer the question. Next. Riemann, shenotol l'shem Riemann. We said if you had Riemann fruit and you planted it for Riemann fruit, or hadas, shenotol l'shem b'nos hadas, you planted a myrtle bush for consumption
of myrtle berries.
Is Tony Chayev? What are we talking about here? Possibility of certain inferior species being exempt from Orla, even if they were specifically intended for fruit. In other words, Reb Shimon said, right? Remember we said that the sheet of Reb Shimon, just to remind ourselves what we just said, Reb Shimon said that if you had three species, which were the fruits were so inferior, that even if you had it in mind, not even if you had it in mind, if you had it in mind to make it for wood, in that case it would be exempt from Orla, because since those are inferior fruits, but other fruit trees, he held, you could never have in mind to obliterate the chashivas of fruit. So now we're asking, so what about these fruits that are so inferior? Are they perhaps in Gansom Potter from Maestris? That's the question.
You mean the Riemann fruit is inferior?
The Riemann is very inferior, that's what Reb Shimon said. And the Hadas,
sometimes they have those berries.
Yeah, the berries also inferior. Yeah. So there's a tooth to Samachlagas. It's Tani Tani Chayiv, it's Tani Tani Potter, so it's Samachlagas. Rav Chisda, Mandam Rachayiv, and Makhm Sharoiv Mishamrin, Mandam Rapotter, and Makhm Sharoiv Mishamrin. So he says, you know what, the two Tanoim are talking about two different places. If most people are watching, they're growing this inferior fruit for the purposes of fruit, so then in that location, those fruit have chashivas. So in that case, you'd be chayiv. If it's another place where people are not much of the fruit, then in that case, it would be potter. So the Gemara says...
We're talking about here about maestras still?
Okay, so...
If you find an apple tree that just grew in the middle of nowhere,
Well, that's coming up.
Yeah.
Hold that question. We're going to have that in just a second.
Okay.
Hold that question for 1 second. Now, what we're talking about, so he says over here in 18 that we're talking about Orla.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was your question,
He was asking, are we talking about Arlo or are we talking about Maestris? Yeah, I said Maestris before. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. It's Arlo. I thought he said that it's actually a question. Yeah, if you look at 14-second the paragraph, the brackets, following the lead of Grandpa Moshe, we will interpret the upcoming passage as referring to Arlo. Other commentaries understand we're talking about Maestris. Okay, so it's a Shaila, what we're talking about over here. Okay, good question. The Rabbi Yossi boy, the Gemara asked the question, if most people reserve the fruit for consumption, Lomali Chishev, why do I hate to have the owner specifically have an intention to eat them? I feel a little Chishev, even without as much shovel. Right? So it's because if you looked at the question, it says, Rimen Shinatao Lishem Rimen. So it sounds like the owner had this in mind. You don't need to have it in mind if most people are that way. And the other way around also. Do we say an olive tree and a fig tree until you have makshava for that you have to eat it? Of course not. Because everybody grows olives and figs for the purpose of that, right? So therefore he says, on the base, he says, then let's suppose we have a city or a location where half the people are makshavit and the other half of the people are not makshavit. So we have a split. So there... We're talking
about the
Rimmon. So we don't have a majority one way or the other. That's where the Machshava will come into play. Again, if it's some place where you have a majority of people treating it one way, then there's no question it's going to be Chayav and Maestris, regardless of whether you had it in mind or not. But let's suppose you had a place where it's 50-50. So there already your Kavanah is going to make a difference. In such areas, the English continues, Riemann fruit, myrtle berries are not automatically assumed to be destined for eating because a full half of the population does not keep these fruits. So when you have half and half, you have a suffix. So there we have to have a specific intention. Okay? Now, Omer Masya, in fact, it could even be where it is rove. Why? Min de bas rosa, on account of maintaining the stylistic consistency with the latter brisa, where you don't have a majority, then even if you had in mind to make it a fruit, we would not be much of that, because it's batel daitai. It would still be exempt. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shem Reb Shimon Yotzarek. Gefen sha'olas v'mokam ha'roshen. Let's suppose you have a grapevine. This is your question, Rabbi Oberstein.
Okay.
If you have a grapevine that grew up on its own in a forest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, no one is going to bother taking their tractor and their equipment and their baskets and schlep out to the forest to go pick the grapes off this grapevine. No one's doing that. So therefore, it's part of, that's his kiddush. Ptur min ha'arla. It's not chayav an arla because that's not growing for fruit. No one's going to bother with it.
Is it an individual property or is it
Hefker? One second. I'm a Yaisi, I feel in the Torah, even if you planted it in a forest. So you went out and planted it with Kavana. The first part of it was all loss. It went up, it came up by its own. It was like a wind blew a seed and it planted it in wild. But he's saying, Rabbi Yaisi is saying, even if you planted it with Kavana, it doesn't make a difference.
Why?
Because
the first case is it's just growing there, right?
But the pos yeah.
But he says even when the tatev, it has to be derech natia.
Somebody has to plant.
Is that what it says?
It says in the footnote.
So it says okay, good. I don't see
which
that here.
It's in the Hebrew. He says Amar Biosi Afilu Nata. The next thing Amar Biosi Afilu Nata.
Yeah.
He says that the pasuk says when the tatev, it has to be derech natia. Not if you planted it in a forest that's 2 miles away and it's not there for the tia.
Right. Okay. Very good. So anyway, so this is the answer to your question. So if you have an apple tree, your question, if you have an apple tree that grows on its own in the middle of the forest, you can eat from it. You don't have to worry about it being arla. It's wild and no one's paying attention
right.
to it. That's what it says over here. Very good.
So that's
I'm not here to passing. I didn't look up these halachas. This is something.
From what you see here.
It sounds like it. It's the letter Aleph Beis. There's a Beis over there by Rabbi Yossi. I forgot to look it up. Simon Reish Tanak Dalet Sivchav Zion. We have to look it up.
Right, and also the Aleph Gimel Shalav Makom Chorshim.
Absolutely, they're both. It seems like it's the Halach. The Gemara answers. The Gemara asks a question. What's Ninon? In fact, the Gemara Akasha from what? From the next Mishnah. It says in the next Mishnah, Ha'oila me'elav chayev ba'arla. We're in trouble now. It says over there in that Mishnah that if it grows on its own, it is chayev an arla. So what are we going to do with that? The Gemara answers, Tamon, that's Mishnah Ton v'makom Yishov. That's where it was planted. In other words, where it grew by itself in a settled area. So therefore, it's worthwhile. It's worth my while to go after it, right? But Varam Hachashin Ton v'makom Chorashin. Here we're talking about a forested area.
So if it's in your backyard,
it's in my backyard, it grows by its own, then it is chayev arla. Then it's all chayev arla, right? So we got that.
That's certainly chayev an arla. If it's in a park in the middle of the town, it's still chayev an arla. Not in your property.
Is there any place that it's...
I'm not disagreeing.
Okay. Yeah. You the example of the backyard that belongs to an individual.
But it came up by its own.
Doesn't matter. If it's in your property...
It's fine. It's fine. I'm not arguing. Omer of Lazar. So we're on 2b2 now. Hadodah Tamar, Shein Oysa Kadei Tfilasa. In other words, a grapevine growing in a forest is exempt when it is, the vine does not produce enough to justify its work. Okay, so that means, is it worth going out there or not? If there's 5 trees growing there and they're producing 10 bushels of apples, I will go out there. In that case, it will be subject to the Isurim of Arla, okay? When its grapes do not have sufficient value to offset the expense of picking them and transporting them. It's a little shver, according to what you said, Dov. If it's a shail of Nimtatem, I don't see the difference. Okay. I have to check into that. The English didn't quote that pasuk. It's funny. Of Huna Sha'al. Now we're going to have very funny questions over here as we come to the end here. And I'm not keeping up to my promise. I thought we were going to get rid of it by 10. I'm not going to make it.
He brings the source, Aruch HaShulchan, Derech HaMuna, Chazit Yecheskel,
5 minutes later.
Prisha, Yoredea.
Thank you. So now, okay, let's go back to Rav Huna Sho'al, Esrog Shana Tola Mitzvah. So this is a very fascinating question. Let's suppose I have an Esrog tree. Now, I'm not planting it for fruit. Who plants an esrog tree for fruit? Nobody.
Esrog jam.
Nobody plants an esrog tree for fruit. It's so much tircha, and it produces so little jam. It's like ridiculous. So what do you plant it for? You plant it for a mitzvah.
Yeah, you make a lot more money on it.
A lot more money anyway, right. So is that called that I planted it for a hedge? That's a question. I was asking a fascinating question. Is that like a hedge, and like for its wood, and for firewood, and for a mitzvah? That's like a list of things which are not fruit, right? That's the question. That was his original, this was Rav Huna. So Chazar Rav Huna, after he asked the question, he then changed his mind. And he said, no question about it. Esther should have told him it's also Chayv Arla. No question, it is Chayv and Arla.
You don't eat it.
So...
But you could use it for a mitzvah, but you can't eat it.
So that's what you just said.
Candy.
This yes. one second. Hold on one second. He just said very good. He just said what Mara Fulda says. Very difficult statement. Mara Fulda. Let's look at Mara Fulda says it. He says, "Chazav Amar Rav Huno Chayav Arla."
I'm in the
Mara Fulda. The last. It's next to the second to last line of the Gemara. Chazav Amar Rav Huno Chayav Arla. In Bola Eifloi Aser. If you're going to eat it, it's taka also the house of Arla. Ava rashrei lotzei tzvara apilu b'shal shonim harishreinim. But to be yotzei with the mitzvah of Esrog, you can certainly be yotzei.
During Arla.
Mitzvah Slavli Ha'aretz Nenu, a tiny good seed. But what's the problem? Did you ever learn the stuff the Sukkah before? In the Bavli? It says Beferish. Any esrog which is not Roy La'achila is not, you cannot be yoyt to the mitzvah of esrog.
It's just
no, no, that's called not Roy. It's something, oh, an esrog is hektish, an esrog is ma'aser sheni in the chutz la'aretz, cannot be eaten, cannot be yoyt to the mitzvah with it. Cannot be yoyt to the mitzvah.
Of what?
Of esrog. Kalukat and lochem, it has to, the gemara darshas, it has to be Roy La'achila. If it's not Roy La'achila, you can't eat. And therefore, an esrog, which is in the first 3 years of Ola, you vade lo yotza, because you can't eat it. And they ask this Marafulda, is it Tzarech in Godel? Well, he writes here, it faces the Halacha and the Bavli, and we're very... But you're saying, in the context of the Yerushalmi, it sounded like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We keep our esrog trees inside in a flower pot, call it, right?
Yeah.
And then we take it outside, if you drive past my house in the front.
Yes.
Okay, so someone wrote me on Facebook that it's always chayav, or it's never 3 years old because I'm replanting it every year or something like that.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, that's basically what
it is. First of all, is
you doing this? Are you planting when you take it
out? No, one second.
And it's planted in something in otzis.
Is the otzis knuckles?
Is there
a hole in the bottom?
I don't think so. I mean, in the house, it's not a...
No, it makes a difference.
Yeah,
it makes a difference.
When you take it outside, it makes a difference.
That's what I'm talking about. If it's an Otzitz Nokov, let's talk it out for a second. If it's an Otzitz Nokov, then whenever you take a tree, if I take a branch off of a tree, if I cut a branch off a tree, and I put it in the ground, the count starts all over again, right?
Right.
Then it starts year one, year two, year three, and it's Orla. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do believe that's the case.
Yeah.
So this is what probably the guy was asking you. He's saying, if you have it in your house during the year, and it's an otzitz nokov, and you take it out and you put it down on the ground, you're replanting it. So it starts the count of one again. I think that's what he's asking.
Okay, so it's not an otzitz nokov,
I don't know.
Then it's okay.
If it's not an otzitz nokov, then there's no shiloh.
Okay,
I don't know if it's also talking whether it's a shiloh or not. I'm just saying maybe that's a top amina. Okay.
Why do you have the esrog?
I don't get it.
Because it shouldn't get killed from the cold weather.
20 years that produce an esrog.
You know what I mean?
It's like... Oh, it's the cold. Is that why? Because of the cold? What's his name? Eli Schlossberg has one. He knows how to do it better.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
You're a Pasha Yid.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go by turn. So I found this very interesting. He first asked the Shaila, and then after he asked the Shaila, he said, for sure you chayav. So let's see what it says by turn. Lokein teninon. So the Gemara challenges him. He says, don't we have a brisa? It says, lokachten lochem. That what? Lo min ha-mitzvah. You shall not take that which is reserved from a mitzvah. The meaning, you cannot purchase your esrog using ma'aser sheni funds. Because ma'aser sheni funds are not lochem. That's not for you. That's the mitzvah. You have to buy your esrog with your own funds, not mitzvah funds.
So why does he say ma'aser sheni, even ma'aser rishon? Even
don't worry about that. That's not funds. Ma'aser Rishon, you don't have opinion. How did you get from Ma'aser Rishon to funds? We're talking about money. How did you get from Ma'aser Rishon to money? Ma'aser Sheni, I go ahead and I impiter the Ma'aser Sheni onto money.
Yeah.
The money gets Kedushas Ma'aser Sheni. I can't use that Ma'aser Sheni money to buy an esrog.
And you have
Meisach
Tzafim? Can you use
Meisach Tzafim? Oh, forget Meisach
Tzafim. Can't
forget it. Forget about Meisach Tzafim. In a similar fashion, the verse that prohibits Orla fruits for 3 years, they shall be forbidden to you, it says Lochem. So the Gemara is asking a reverse layup question. Lochem Okay, listen closely what the Gemara is doing here. The Gemara is comparing the Lachem Pasuk by Esreg that excluded Maaser Sheni funds and required it to be your own funds.
If,
and so if it says Lachem by Arla, that also has to be only your fruit, not mitzvah fruit. So why, if I planted it for a Esreg, which is a mitzvah, and not Lachem, why should it be subject to Arla? You hear what it's asking? It's using the word Lachem, Lachem, right? From the definition of Lachem by the mitzvah, that shows me that you can't use mitzvah funds to buy an Esreg, you can also derive from that what the Lachem Isra by Arla is, that it can't be something which is a tree which is designated for a mitzvah. It has to be Lachem for it to be for your eating. That's the question they asked.
So therefore an SOP should be potter.
Should be potter. That's their question. So the Gemara answers is the difference between the way the Lachem is used. Come on, over there. That what? And look, in the case of Esrek. Ulukaksem Lachem. It implies bedomim, that the taking is, that you're doing it with your own money, lo min ha-mitzvah, not using mitzvah money. Bram hocha, but over here, by netar avoy, by Arla, here in the passage dealing with Arla, the Torah is not issuing a command, but it's defining for whom the Arla fruits are forbidden. Right? It's telling us, these fruits are asur lochem for you, right? Kamod the tamer gabi shofar. Just like by shofar you said. It says yom kfor yelachem, that it's a day of blowing for you. A day of shofar blowing it shall be for you. Mikol makom, a shofar of any kind, even one that's asur bahanoa, is mutter, I mean, is your yoytze in the midst of shofar with. The call, so to hear, shal sham yilachem arelim lo yeyachel mikol makom. It means mikol makom, just like by shofar, we're defining what it is that it applies to. So lachem will apply across the board, whether it's for mitzvah, whether it's for achila, it's lachem, it's for you, it's for across everything. Okay, so basically the Gemara is answering, there's a difference. Lakatam lachem is a directive. When we say that it'll be Arla Lachem, it's telling me who it's applying to. Yom Tshua Yilachem, the day of Rosh Hashanah will be a day of blowing for you, regardless of how you blow it. That's the Gemara's answer. And with this, we end off Beis.
So you can't use what we call Meister money to buy a lulav and an Esther.
Well, I just want to...